Welcome to another episode of the Dead End Sports Fantasy Football Show. It is a show where B and I talk about our week in fantasy football. We're not really like an advice show like that. We don't go through all the stacks and the QBR and the analytics and stuff. There are plenty of dope shows out there for that. We just kind of talk through our real life situations that we go through on a week-to-week basis from the teams that we manage. If you're new, both of us been playing fantasy football for well over 10 years now, probably longer, 15 plus years or so. So we have a lot of experience in doing this, and we've had to do it when we didn't have analytics and stats and all these fantasy football experts. So we know a little something.
Went 1-3 out of my four leagues. You know, I won the Dead End Sports League, lost in my main league 94 to like 115, and lost. Kim messed up. Look, folks that's listening, Kim finally broke the streak. It was an ugly win, but Kim took it. Both our teams kind of struggled. Our defenses shit the bed. But it came down to really the difference maker that I've seen from our matchup was the QB, the quarterback matchup. The quarterback matchup was really what reason why I lost. Drew Brees put up 29 for you. Across the board, our guys was pretty even. Kickers was even, our flex was even, tight ends was even. You know, when my back balled out, your back balled out. When you had a wide receiver that balled out, I had a wide receiver that balled out. It really came down to QB. Ken squeaked it out, 87 to 84. He got it about 3 points, man. Like I said, that QB was definitely the difference maker. I didn't expect Cam Newton to shit the bed against that weak New Orleans defense. I was hoping. When I saw that I had a defense, when I saw I had Cam Newton playing still, I'm saying, okay, I think I got a shot of winning this. But, it came down to that Monday night, man. Ezekiel Elliott saved you with a touchdown. If he hit a touchdown, I more likely would have won that game, too. But it just came up. The QB matchups, that's what hurt me against you, the QB.
You know, so I actually thought I lost this. I didn't know I won until the next day because I thought you had a defense going that night. So I didn't even – it didn't even dawn on me that they didn't score any points and that Dallas they only got like one sack, so you got 0 points. Because my defense, Baltimore, actually got demolished by Jacksonville. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, are you kidding me? And then, you know, I didn't have a tight end. Eifert is hurt. And I passed up on Jared Cook, who had a good matchup. I passed up on, what's the tight end in Buffalo? Charles Clay. I passed up on him. And I decided to go with Ed Dixon because he was supposed to be taking the spot of Olsen. And he told them to run the same plays and throw him the same throws. And he caught one ball for 8 yards. It was like, what am I doing? Chris Carson got lucky. You know, he scored a touchdown, but their running was bad. And going into that matchup, I didn't even look at the score, B. I was like, because we were on the group thread. I was like, yeah, I need about 30 points or something. I say it like that.
Yep.
And then, when I looked, I'm like, oh, man, Newton didn't do anything. And then I looked, I said, Jordan Howard hasn't done anything all year. And this is the 1 week he decides to ball out. Are you kidding me? And then let's not forget the crime of all crimes this week. I left Sammy Watkins on the bench.
Yes, you did.
For James White against Houston defense. So here's my thinking, right? We talked last week about Thursday Night Football. I was like, okay, Houston's defense, they're probably going to get a lot of pressure on Tom Brady, or they're going to want to get the ball out quick. James White is good for that. Nope. He didn't do anything. Absolutely nothing. And I woke up that morning, I was like, oh, Sammy Watkins, snap. Because I was playing my lineups that day, and I had him in, and then I had him out, and I never went back to it trying to win the fantasy baseball championship. And I saw that I left them on the bench. So, but I'll take the win. I needed it. I didn't want to go 0-3 and like I am in the other league. So, the other Dead End Sports League, man, this is the craziest thing ever. And this is fantasy football at its finest. How does a team with Aaron Rodgers, Ezekiel Elliott, Kareem Hunt, LeSean McCoy, how are we 0-3? How? I just...
Man, you talking about our squad?
No. Not our squad. This is my team in the Dead End Sports League.
Man. I don't know how, Ken.
I really honestly don't know what Buffalo is doing with LeSean McCoy, who was absolutely terrible for the second week in a row. I just don't get it. But, you know, and then now it looks like Joe Mixon is going to be the running back to own in Cincinnati with the change of the offensive coordinator. So I hope you guys have him. And so get this, right? I started Rashard Higgins. So last week I talked about him. I started him. Yeah, he did nothing. Guess who balled out? Adam Thielen. You know why I didn't start Adam Thielen?
Why?
Case Keenum was the quarterback, and he had a good game.
Damn.
The sport, man.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I lost 126 to 102.
And I know you touched on bench. I want to go back to my matchup with you. I had 71 points on the bench. Hogan gave me 19.2, which I did not expect him to do against Houston Texans. Carson Palmer put up 28.6. That would have been the difference right there. I could have played him, and I would have got the W. Sterling Shepard from the Giants gave me 20 points. He balled out. 133 receptions and one touchdown. Dude, that's – and then a couple people had like 1.2 points. But, yeah, 71 points on the bench. I'm not really mad because – I would be mad if I was thinking about playing one of these guys. Like, if I was like, Sterling Shepard, or da da da. Like, I'd have been mad if I was going back and forth between a couple of these players, but I ain't even think to put these guys in. So I'm not really mad at myself for this loss because I'm like, damn, Ty Montgomery kind of, he had his first, like, crappy week this for me, and I needed him to do something, especially against you. So I'm like, Ty Montgomery, way to shit the bed. But on a good note, though, at least in the Dead End Sports League, I'm undefeated still. 3-0, starting the season off in a good way. Matt Stafford, Antonio Brown, Jeffries, Miller, Montgomery, Fleener, and Sanders, you know, they've been holding me down, man. They've been holding me down so far. I can't complain whatsoever. I put up a nasty 81 points, but any win will help. I went up against Sorry Kyle, so that just shows you. I put up 81 points and still beat Kyle. That just shows you how whack his team is. Because I can only put up 81 points. I don't need to put up, I don't need to put up a whole bunch of points up against him. So that was number light work, man. My team took off like, hey, cool. I'm going to go up against Blunted by the Bay, who was 1-2, and they actually projected him to win. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one goes, man. If I can keep my undefeated streak going into 4-0, that would be a great way to start off fantasy football.
That's the same league I'm 1-2 in, and like you said, like a win is a win because I put up 104. Last week, and in week one, I put up 109 and I lost both. Like, I'm 0-3. I put up 94 and I lost in week two. So, yeah, against you. So, it doesn't matter what the score is. The only thing that matters is winning. So, I play Issa Squad and I play Antoinette's team now. I want to talk crap about her squad. And I should, because she has. Look, B, there is no way she's playing this team. There's no way. She can't be active. She has Tanner McEvoy as a receiver.
Matt Ryan. I think she's playing this good. DeMarco Murray. Yeah.
Nah, she's not setting her lineup.
Oh, my God. That is bad, though. That's bad. Like, why would you? Like, why?
First of all, why would you even draft this team? This is like the worst team ever. She's not playing because she got some guys inactive.
She said she was mad because she had Thompson on the bench and he went nuts. I'm like, well, hey, look, you got to do your homework, boo.
She told you that?
Yeah, she was mad. She was like pissed. I was like, well, I bet you gonna play his butt now. So, yeah,
but
man.
But she's playing Tanner McAvoy, who this guy, something ain't right, B.
It, she be better off just playing Ted Ginn Jr. or somebody. Or she better go on the waiver wire, because she don't got nobody else. So you might as well count that as an easy W. They already got you favored to win. So, man, I hope Hunt. Man, I hate you got freaking Hunt, man. But I'm glad we got him on our squad.
we lost that one last week. That was just a bad week. We have to chalk that one up to Dreamville having a better squad.
Benjamin, he was like, I thought y'all was going to go undefeated. Like, you know, okay. I'm like, that's cool. You know, we can be confident. Ain't no wrong with being confident in our team.
Man, that little scrub-ass team, man. He got lucky. Nah, he got a nice little squad. Nah, his squad look okay.
He got lucky.
Nah, man, we got I don't know what's up with Martavis Bryant. Kelvin Benjamin didn't step up like I hoped he would. But thankfully, we got Rishard Matthews. But that's it. Like, we're hurting at the wide receiver position.
I know, because I think Cup is going to be one of them guys that'll give you 2 points one week and 28 the next week. He seemed like that type of inconsistent guy.
Yeah, let me look on the waiver wire, because I don't even think there's anybody out there, really. I mean, Jermaine Kearson, Paul Richardson, and Brandon Coleman, because old boy's back, Willie Snead is back, but they're talking about, he has to kind of work his way back into shape, and they like the way Brandon Coleman is playing, and I hope it's all just coach speak and playing games with the media, but we could use somebody, because our guys, man, like, Kelvin Benjamin, what are you doing?
I know. Like, dude, you sucking right now. Like, you supposed to be the guy that kind of, like, helped be that difference maker for us, man, and you not. You really not.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those situations, right, because when I woke up, when I was looking at the final scores Tuesday, and when I was looking at, no, better yet, let me back up. When I was looking at the scores Sunday night when we got back, because I didn't watch any of the games, and we shot earlier that day. So when I got home and I was getting ready to go to bed and I was looking at the scores, I was like, man, I have no idea what to do in fantasy football this year. Nothing is making sense to me. I can't get a read on it.
Yeah, this is one of those weird seasons, man. Like, we had seasons like this before in fantasy football, but yeah, this is another one of those weird, I can't explain type of seasons. The way how stuff going with receivers and running backs, you just don't know. You don't know what you're getting. You really don't know what you're getting on a week to week basis. You don't know what your guy's gonna do, because it's just a weird vibe. I don't know. I don't know if it's just because of everything going on with, you know, in the world with football and all this pro, you know, just, I don't know, but it's just weird this year. It seems really weird. So any week four pickups, any with free waiver wire guys to like look at that you can probably possibly find to pick up?
It's ugly, man. It's ugly. I like I said, I'm just kind of waiting. I know if you don't have Wendell Smallwood, you should probably go get him.
I was just gonna say that. I was gonna say Smallwood is probably a good pickup. Jarvis Allen might be another one. Who else? My man from Jacksonville. Marquez Lee. I think that's him.
Yeah.
I would say look at him if you stuff suffering at ride outs. Charles Clay, tight end for need of a tight end or something. That's all I got as far as players to look at for week four pickups.
Let's see. Yeah, I like all of those. I think tight end is an interesting position, because there are really no good tight ends. I'm in a situation where I don't have Eifert and I'm struggling to find somebody. I don't know if I'm gonna play Ed Dixon or not. I may go see if I can find somebody on the wire, but Chris Thompson is obviously owned. Going to Javoris Allen, one of the things to keep in mind is that Alex Collins got a lot of work. So that team is running back by committee in the worst way. If you have Melvin Gordon, you better go get Brendan Oliver. I'm going to say this again. If you have Melvin Gordon, you better go get Brendan Oliver. He's no Melvin Gordon, but we've seen that San Diego Charger, LA Charger offense over the last couple of years, and they have a tendency to get to the 5-yard line or the 4-yard line, and then they hand it off. So they don't really. So, yeah, he's a guy that you'll want to have just even as a backup to your guy. And another guy to look at, and I'm trying to figure it out, but I haven't figured it out yet. And B, we have to take this into consideration ourselves. If he's even available, I look, Deontay Foreman. The backup to Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller, man, he's not looking good, man. And let me see. And I think somebody may have snatched Foreman up. Yeah, I think he's gone.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, in this league, man, they be sharking. Yep, already gone.
Which one? In which league?
The league we co-own. Bear Down got him. Got him. Okay. Yep, at 6:55 a.m. Yeah, so much. Oh man, this was a really good pickup. Somebody picked up Will Fuller. Put him on your radar. Keep him on the bench and stash him. He might do some things. You just never know, because he got off to a good start last year. But yeah, if you guys can pick up Deontay Foreman, go ahead. Lamar Miller is still the guy, but maybe he get hurt. You never know. But that's all I got. That's really all I got in terms of waivers. There was really nobody that I wanted.
Yeah, same here.
So I'm going to go through, and I got this off fftoday.com, and it's called Truth and Lies. So here are 5 truths. Starting Sam Bradford's replacement, Case Keenum, is at best a long shot play. 3 touchdowns last week. If you need to start Case Keenum, you're probably in tough trouble. But do you trust Case Keenum if you need a guy?
For the Vikings?
Mm-hmm.
Not to sound a little biased, but Vikings going against a tough defense in Detroit Lions this week. So I don't think I would trust that move based off the matchup. Lions defense is actually surprising me this year. They playing pretty good. So I don't trust that. Not right now. No, not with this matchup. I definitely don't trust that going in. But you know what? It's crazier things, man. We've seen guys get off against, you know, defenses we don't expect them to get off against. So, I mean, I didn't expect Hogan to go crazy against the Houston Texans, but hell, we've seen crazier stuff. But I don't trust that. I don't trust that move, though.
Do you believe in Chris Thompson, Washington's running back?
I kind of, because whenever you have a running back that can also catch out the backfield, that's recipe for some points. You know, that any day he can have 43 reception yards and barely 30 or 40 rushing yards. That's still 8 points right there. Not even including if he get a touchdown out of one of those, a reception touchdown or a rushing touchdown. So whenever you get someone that can catch that bad boy, you know, that's always a good recipe right there for fantasy wise. You know, if he was just strictly a running back, you know, running, you know, on the ground type of back, then I would say, I don't know. But yeah, it seemed like Washington is going to use this guy, and they're going to use him out the slot a lot too. So I would say, I say if you got him, he's definitely a good, if you, you know, got a stud as a running back and you got him, he's definitely a good RB2 to have.
Good flex for now, riding while he's hot. I've always undervalued running backs that catch the ball out of the backfield. I've never been a Sproles guy, or what's the other guy? Woodhead. I've never really liked guys like that. Right. But yeah, he's getting to work. Rob Kelly is hurt. Play him. Good flex. Do you believe in Stephon Diggs? He's had two good games so far this season.
Ah, man. Diggs. He's one of those guys. You know who Diggs reminds me of? And he used to play for Minnesota, too. Because I had him a couple years, like some years back. Bernard Berrien. That guy that gives me them inconsistent. But when you play him and he balls out, he ball out, man. It was 1 year I had Bernard Berrien, I swear to God. And, like, that squad was so iffy that year. I played him every week. He would give me, like, 2.3 one week. Next week, he'd give me 19.5. Next week, probably give me, like, 15. Then in 2 weeks straight, he'd give me 2 points. Then another 2 weeks after that, he'd give me, like, 19 points straight. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, I think Diggs is one of those guys where you're just going to have to just put – if that's all you got – you're going to have to, like, put him in and just close your eyes every week, because there's no given week. It's any given week with him. I mean, he's not even – he's so inconsistent, man, as far as points-wise, man. It's just like, ah. He's so frustrating because I've had receivers on my team in previous years like that before. That was just so inconsistent. But you had no other choice but to play him. You know, it's like, well, okay, like, I guess let me go ahead and play him because the rest of my team ain't doing nothing else. So it's like you play him, you just pray that he score points. So I guess it just depends on the wide receiver position that you're in. If you got a stud and the rest are maybes and iffies, then, you know, you could probably pop him in that flex position, you know. I would say go with that. But, yeah, Diggs is just one of them scary guys for me, man. I can't trust him to be consistent on a regular basis.
Two more. He's number one in targets.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only averaging 8.8 fantasy points a game. It's DeAndre Hopkins. Do you still trust him, or is it time to give up on him?
No, still week three. The reason why it's not time to give up on him, just because your point you said, he got the most targets. So that means he's getting work. He's just not making fun of his work. But whenever you see, because I look at that sometimes too, man, whenever you see players who consistently get targets, you know, that means the quarterback is looking for you a lot. So targets is a good thing. It's just a matter of, can them wide receivers make them plays when their numbers are called upon on all those targets? So no, not yet. It's week three. So, you know, let's not still panic yet. If you 1-2 and 0-3 people that's listening, do not panic. This is where your GM skills kick in, man. You got to get on that waiver wire and try to find some studs or some players that me and myself and Ken mentioned. Or if you see someone that you eye yourself, you know, try to pick him up. Maybe that could be the pickup that you need. Maybe that could be the running back. Maybe that could be the wide receiver that you need to help turn your team around. You know what I'm saying? It happens to me before. I'm pretty sure it happened to Ken. And it's happened to other people that's played fantasy football, that's been playing fantasy football for years. So, you know, if you 0-3, 1-2, do not give up. Don't panic or anything. Just stay with it. Stay at it. Trust me, it will turn around if you make the right moves.
Last one, Big Ben.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, should we be worried? He has to produce in order for Bell, Brown, and Bryant to get off. He's averaged 20, 20, and 16. So week one, 263 yards, two touchdowns, a pick. Week two, 243 yards, two touchdowns. Week three, 235 yards, one touchdown. He's not balling.
Yeah, but he's not really stinking up to join either, though. We say he's not balling because he got all those fun weapons. But I mean, he got one interception. You know, interceptions is negative points. So it's not like he out there throwing three or four interceptions a game and still winning the game with those type of yards. It's just, I see what you're saying. It's just not. You know, you got Martavis Bryant back healthy, you know, fully healthy. You got Antonio Brown. You have all your weapons healthy to begin the season with, and it's like it's not looking too promising. I'm gonna go on a limb and give him a 2 more week probation. I'm gonna give him to week five. So not yet. Now I'm not gonna panic and give up on him yet, but I do have him on a 2 week. All right, dude, you got 2 more weeks. And I'm gonna throw in, you know, Wentz or Palmer out there as my starting QB. Like I'm telling you. So I would definitely keep Ben on a close leash, and we're gonna see what he gonna produce, because Jacksonville is a pretty softest Twinkie filling defense. So, like you said, Baltimore is pretty ugly. I expect a 13 through 15 point week for Ben. He's probably gonna have anywhere between 13 and 15 points, which is less than his average as of right now. So he's gonna be under average. I'm predicting for this Sunday. Jacksonville, he better bounce back, and is at home. If Ben shows me a 400 plus game and 2-3 touchdown game, okay, we might be able to do something. But if he only gives me barely 20 points against Jacksonville, depending on your quarterback situation, I would say it'd be time to let him go. Or maybe just put him back on your bench and just put him on the oak. Of course, keep him for whenever your other QB has a bye week. But 2 week, man, 2 week probation. I'm giving Ben Roethlisberger a 2 week probation. So you got into April. I mean, to April. You got to October 8th to get yourself together, man. And we if not, I'm gonna have to bench you. That's for people who got him.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go, guys. Last thing, man. Somebody actually offered me Big Ben for whatever reason. And I was like, it's Stokes Gridiron. I think he's in the Dead End Sports League. And I'm like, well, dang, I must not have a quarterback. Like, you giving me Big Ben Roethlisberger? Why? And I looked at my team. I was like, dude, I have Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck, who may come back in week six. But yeah, more importantly,
we offer you Big what?
Thank you. And that was.
Like, thinking about making people when you make trades? You have to really when you offer someone a trade, offer them a trade to where you're gonna think, you know what? If I was this person, would I would accept this trade? Don't send them some idiotic, stupid trade. Don't try to get someone main back for and you giving them two bench players, guys that's barely getting any. Just because you send them two players, don't make the trade offer look sexy. Give them something that can help them out. If you see he's kind of suffering in wide receivers, be like, okay, cool, I'm going to give him this player. But damn, he really hurting that running back. He don't got no backs. So I'm going to give him Ty Gurley, and he can give me one of them nice receivers he got. Try to make it somewhat interesting. Don't just try to give a man trash and you're trying to get his treasure.
Dude, I got you. I'm going to give you another one. Tone Loke offered me Odell Beckham Jr. for Ezekiel Elliott. Now, on the surface, that sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, the names. Yes, the names.
But, like you said, look at the roster. I have in this team, I have Breeze, Michael Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, and Sammy Watkins.
Why do you need them?
I need Zeke more, right? Because my running backs are James White, Bilal Powell, Tevin Coleman, Thomas Rawls, and Chris Carson. I need Zeke a lot.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. Nah, think, guys. Tone Loke, you managed to trick a lot of people in the fantasy baseball league. I'm not that guy. So, you can't trick me into giving you a trading for a guy I don't need just off name alone.
Right. Right.
Try somebody else. So, anyway. We wish you guys luck this week, and that's going to do it for this week's show. Come back next week, man. Hopefully, I'm not 0-4.
Yeah, I believe. And to my fantasy players too, I believe after this week, the real fantasy football season starts. Because guess what's going to start happening? We are going to get into bye weeks. So this is when the fun starts. This is when fantasy football. I always look at it. Myself, I always look at it as just the juicy part of fantasy football, because now you really got to start wheeling and dealing, looking for guys out there to plug in. This is why it's important. This is why me and Ken always preach. This is important for you guys when them draft rounds get to round 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's the important part of your draft, because, you know, now you got these bye weeks kicking in and sometimes injuries. It's important to plug those bench guys in. So, you know, this is the last week where you can just pick, you know, put your guys in and let them play, because starting after that, we going to start getting ready for them bye weeks. So I hope y'all ready.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We'll catch you next week. Peace.
Peace.